الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم يا واسع الفضل اغفر لنا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك والله سبحانه وتعالى We are in your court, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have not come, O Allah. You have brought us here, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, we cannot come tomorrow in front of your presence in the Jannah, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, you take us there, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what's in our hearts, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, you know what's our weaknesses, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, at times we don't admit, we are denying. O at times, O Allah, we are not turning for that reformation, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, you open our hearts, our minds, that we turn to you, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us that ability, O Allah, to realize, O Allah, that we are weak, O Allah, that we don't go in defiance, O Allah, that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at every moment, we are turning towards you, coming towards you, that this month of Ramadan was how that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come in our lives, every part of our lives, every day, whether with our families, whether we are driving, whether we are walking, that all the time, O Allah ta'ala, that consciousness, that awareness, O Allah, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us a heart that is full of life, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, that person who's lying on that hospital bed, O Allah ta'ala, he's alive, but O Allah ta'ala, he doesn't have that strength, O Allah. At times, if someone has to come and try to hurt him, whichever way, O Allah, but he doesn't have that strength to defend himself. O Allah ta'ala, we may be alive, but O Allah ta'ala, that heart, O Allah ta'ala, is dead, O Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at times we are seeing things happening around us, O Allah, but we don't have that heart, we don't have that life within us to stop those things, O Allah, to stop ourselves from going in that direction, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, you give us that life, O Allah, give us a heart. O Allah ta'ala, one is to look like a Muslim, to have a Muslim name, but O Allah ta'ala, give us a Muslim mind, a mind that thinks like a Muslim, O Allah. Think how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beautiful Sahaba radiallahu anhu, thought, O Allah, give us a Muslim mind, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, give us a Muslim heart, O Allah. A heart that desires as a Muslim supposed to desire, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us that life, that whatever is happening around us, that fikr of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that fikr and concern, how that complete deen can come in our lives, in the lives of those around us as well, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while we are seated here, O Allah, you know what is going through our minds, what is going through our hearts, O Allah, what's our desires, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever problems, whatever difficulties each one of us may be in, at times, O Allah, especially when a person is trying to come towards you, O Allah, at times a person is flooded by doubts, O Allah. A person is flooded with whispers and thoughts, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, you remove all those obstacles from us, O Allah, so that path in coming towards you becomes easy, O Allah. Time and again, nafs and shaitan will come as obstacles in that pathway, but O Allah ta'ala, give us that courage. That courage, we bypass all those obstacles and we come towards you, O Allah. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing must come and stop us on that journey. That journey towards you, O Allah. Open that journey up towards you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make it easy for us, O Allah. Allah ta'ala, it must never happen, O Allah, that we are moving towards you. And on this journey, O Allah ta'ala, it's not how fast we move, O Allah. Rather, it's how steadfast we remain, O Allah. At times, maybe two persons start on their journey together, and then one person is moving very fast, And then suddenly, oh Allah Ta'ala, he's no more on the journey. He drops off, or he takes some off ramp and he moves in another direction. And then another person was going slow and slow. But oh Allah Ta'ala, he completes that journey and he reaches you, oh Allah. Make us from those persons, oh Allah, that remain firm and steadfast. It should never be, oh Allah, that our life, we passed and then we went to the masjid. We performed salah. We did some good. But oh Allah Ta'ala, at that deathbed, at that last, that Allah Ta'ala, that iman was snatched and taken away from us. Oh Allah, save us from that, oh Allah. Allow us to live as Muslims with that iman of Allah, with that complete iman of Allah. Oh Allah Ta'ala, everyone may be praising us at times and raising us at times, but oh Allah Ta'ala, you know our reality, oh Allah, in that salah. Those few minutes we're standing in front of you, oh Allah. But that mind of Allah, we cannot control it. All types of thoughts are coming in that salah. Time and again, oh Allah, give us that realization. That time and again, we use that salah as a thermometer, as a gauge of how much water we are in, oh Allah. That we realize that how much more effort is required to bring that consciousness of Allah, that awareness of Allah, so that, oh Allah Ta'ala, at every point in our lives, we realize we are weak, we are deficient, and we need to correct ourselves. We need to come towards you, oh Allah. Oh Allah Ta'ala, give us that himmat, that courage. Never should it be, Allah Ta'ala, that we become despondent, that we lose hope, oh Allah. Allah Ta'ala, give us that courage all the time. And that's one of the reasons we are gathered here, oh Allah, this gaining that himmat, gaining that courage. Never should it be that we lose hope, we lose courage. Allah Ta'ala, keep us happy, oh Allah. A salik, a person moving towards Allah, Allah Ta'ala, that person has to be happy. A happy person is a progressive person. Oh Allah Ta'ala, keep us with that happiness. Because a sad person falls down. A sad person loses hope. Oh Allah Ta'ala, give us that happiness. That happiness, such happiness, that happiness must reach its peak at that last moment, oh Allah, when we're going to meet you, oh Allah. That when we're leaving this world, oh Allah, that happiness must come to its peak at that time, oh Allah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is happening around us, oh Allah, give us that realization that our actions to come in conformance to your beautiful commands, oh Allah, in the way of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah ta'ala, that sky, oh Allah ta'ala, when that sky cries, oh Allah, then, oh Allah ta'ala, that dead ground comes to life, oh Allah. Oh Allah ta'ala, our eyes, teach our eyes how to cry, oh Allah, so that dead heart can come to life as well, oh Allah. Oh Allah ta'ala, when the rains don't come down, oh Allah, then that ground becomes so hard, oh Allah. Allah ta'ala, we don't know how to cry, oh Allah. And oh Allah ta'ala, we are so weak, oh Allah. Allah ta'ala, our hearts are gone hard, oh Allah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allow those tears to come down, oh Allah. Allow that heart to come alive, oh Allah. Oh Allah ta'ala, that baby, that little baby cries, oh Allah. And the mother is answering the need and the call of that child, oh Allah. Allah ta'ala, give us ability to realize that crying which we did when we were babies and everything was done around for us, oh Allah, that once again, oh Allah, to cry and turn to you, oh Allah. That every need of ours, oh Allah, we turn to you, oh Allah. Give us that realization, anything that happens in our life, oh Allah, that before we can complain, and before we can become emotional, and before we can take off with those around us, oh Allah, for us to realize that it's my weakness and my fault, oh Allah. Before we blame everyone else, oh Allah, we blame ourselves, oh Allah. And we realize that, oh Allah, we have to correct ourselves, oh Allah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever has whatever type of illnesses, oh Allah, you remove those illnesses, oh Allah. Give us that ability to understand that whatever illness is a means of getting closer to you, oh Allah. But oh Allah ta'ala, we don't have that level of forbearance and tolerance and patience, oh Allah. We become at times impatient and we lose ourselves. Give us afiyat and the best of health, oh Allah. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have passed away, oh Allah, you make it easy for them, O Allah. Allah Ta'ala, you give us ability time and again. Whatever good we do, O Allah, we make intention and we pass on the rewards to those who have passed away. So that tomorrow, Allah Ta'ala, when we are lying there, O Allah, others remember us as well, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, whatever remains of our life, Whatever life remains in us, O Allah, give us the ability to serve your beautiful deen, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give us that heart, the heart of the figure of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dhikr of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the time, O Allah. Allah ta'ala, give us that lillahiyat, that whatever we do, Allah ta'ala, complete ikhlas and sincerity. Allah ta'ala, with the beauty of sincerity, inshallah, there will be continuity. Otherwise, Allah ta'ala, if there's no sincerity, then maybe for a while we are motivated, but thereafter that action falls altogether. Give us that complete lillahiyat, that complete ikhlas and sincerity, O Allah. Wa latla those on haq, on truth, O Allah. Give them the strength and give them the acceptance to continue in whatever good they are doing, O Allah. Whatever batil and falsehood is out there, O Allah. Wa latla you give them hidayat and guidance, and if they are not coming into a guidance and then obstacle, O Allah, you remove them, O Allah. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you unite the ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unite our hearts, O Allah. Allah ta'ala, whatever differences may be there, Allah ta'ala, you remove those differences. Clean our hearts, remove all hatred and ill feelings, O Allah. At times, O Allah, we're not speaking to others for days, for months. O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have created us and you know best that within 3 days, O Allah, that heart now must continue with life, that we make peace with those around us. It may just take a SMS or take one phone call. Give us that himmat and strength to make that phone call and ask for forgiveness. O Allah Ta'ala, we want your forgiveness. Give us that heart to forgive others as well, O Allah. That heart, Allah Ta'ala, it has to be for you. It can't have grudges and ill feelings in that heart, O Allah. Remove all those ill feelings, all that hatred and whatever. At times, Allah Ta'ala, we are soft by nature. So if someone hurts us, then we do not retaliate. But oh Allah Ta'ala, we keep that ill feeling in that heart. And that there is a barrier between us and you, oh Allah. Oh Allah Ta'ala, give us that strength and that ability that we clear those ill feelings from that heart so that line of transmission is now clear and all barriers are removed. So that oh Allah Ta'ala, now when we communicate, then Allah Ta'ala, it's a clear communication. And oh Allah Ta'ala, you want to give, oh Allah, but we are not receiving because of those barriers and those obstacles. Give us that himmat and courage, oh Allah, that we make peace with all those around us. That oh Allah Ta'ala, that heart is clean all the time. And that mind is clear all the time, oh Allah. Oh Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, on this beautiful night in the month of Ramadan, oh Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, you accept whatever ibadat and acts of worship, O Allah, accept as a means of guidance for ourselves and the entire creation till the last day, O Allah. Accept it as a means of isal sawab and reward from Nabi Adam alayhi salam till the last Muslim to die till the last day, O Allah. Allah Ta'ala, give us a heart and mind that is full of generosity, that we are not only for ourselves, O Allah, we are one beautiful ummah. Ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever jais and permissible requests and needs lying in those hearts of ours, O Allah, fulfill each one of them, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah ta'ala, we are weak, and O Allah ta'ala, our way of expressing ourselves is also weak. O Allah ta'ala, you are full of treasures, and O Allah ta'ala, you are full of giving, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, you give us from your unlimited treasures, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah ta'ala, you give us the ability that Allah ta'ala, that these limbs of ours, that every one of them, O Allah, every limb of ours is in your obedience, O Allah. At times, those eyes, O Allah, we are growing and we are getting older, but those eyes are not being trained as yet. O Allah Ta'ala, give us that strength to train our eyes, to lower that gaze, to look after that gaze, O Allah. That eyes to be pure, that looking at good, so that, O Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no distractions between us and you, O Allah. That those ears, O Allah, you protect those ears of ours, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you unite all our hearts, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, you remove all ill feelings and hatred, O Allah. At times, the disbeliever will be trying in different ways to disunite us. But O Allah ta'ala, you give us the ability that we all stand together. And we all, O Allah ta'ala, we make one effort in one direction in the way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are in financial difficulties, you Allah, you make it easy, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, when there's deaths on the shoulders and in that mind, that those lives are unsettled, there's restlessness, O Allah ta'ala, you remove all those burdens, O Allah. O Allah ta'ala, we are in this gathering because you made everything easy for us. O Allah ta'ala, there are so many those out there that their hearts are also to be here. But O Allah ta'ala, whatever difficulties they had, whatever obstacles, they couldn't make it here. O Allah ta'ala, you made it so easy for us. O Allah ta'ala, we are in full of comforts and luxuries, O Allah. Give us ability and tawfiq to make shukr, O Allah, that we are grateful and we are thankful. O Allah ta'ala, with this gratitude, O Allah, there's only increase and increase. Give us a tongue that is always full of shukr and thanks, O Allah. Today everyone is complaining, but give us that ability to be from the selected few and the selected group that is all the time thanking and thanking you, O Allah. Allah Ta'ala, at times we may sin. And the moment we sin, O Allah, then immediately shaitan is there. And at times, now shaitan will make us feel so miserable and make us feel so dirty and filthy. And shaitan at times takes us right down into the depths. And then we feel like we're losing hope, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, there are so many youngsters out there, so many youth out there, that O Allah Ta'ala are trying to reach out to you. O Allah Ta'ala, you open their pathways, O Allah. You open our pathways as well, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, we should never ever lose hope, O Allah. You give us a hopeful heart, a heart that always has you in front of us, O Allah. That we do not look at our own weakness, O Allah. That we look at your greatness all the time, O Allah. Allah Ta'ala, give us the ability that we don't look at our own weakness, O Allah. We look at your greatness, O Allah. Our lives that have passed thus far, O Allah, we have made a lot of mistakes and whatever weaknesses. O Allah Ta'ala, you give us the strength that now we look ahead. We look ahead. We don't look back. And we don't allow the past to keep us down. We look ahead and we look at your greatness, O Allah. We look at your grace, O Allah. And we turn in your direction, O Allah. That you open all pathways for us, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, make it such that you grant us the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of Quran, the sweetness of Dua, the sweetness of standing before you in Salah. O Allah Ta'ala, it shouldn't be that we leave this world without tasting that sweetness, O Allah. Give us the sweetness of Ibadat, O Allah. The sweetness of taking your name, O Allah. The sweetness of bringing joy to the hearts of others, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, give us a heart that is all the time engaging in ways of bringing the ummah of Nabi Sallam closer to you, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, one is we do good and O Allah Ta'ala, we come to you. But O Allah Ta'ala, as the last ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Allah, we are not just for ourselves, O Allah. We are for the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give us that heart that may be that friend of ours or that neighbor of ours. Give us ways, place it in our hearts, place it in our minds of reaching out to people, that we make an effort, O Allah, of linking one ummati, linking one person to you, O Allah. O Allah Ta'ala, a father that probably has a child, and that child went missing, and years have passed, and that father lost all hope of ever having that child back. And then after a few years, someone comes and delivers that child to that father. What joy comes to that father's heart. O Allah Ta'ala, today one ummati has been kidnapped and hijacked and taken in different directions by shaitan and by their nafs. O Allah Ta'ala, give us that ability that we bring one of those servants back to you, O Allah. And now when we return the servants to you, O Allah, that your joy and happiness may be so much with us, O Allah, that you shower and you bless us and you accept us. O Allah Ta'ala, you give us that figure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to bring alive every aspect of deen in every part of the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. O Allah Ta'ala, give us a heart that is full of thanks all the time, that a heart is always working and making an effort to come closer to you, O Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. O Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, those who have requested du'as, O Allah Ta'ala, whatever permissible request they have, O Allah, accept each one of those requests, O Allah. And O Allah Ta'ala, make it such that the best moments are those last moments of our life, O Allah. That when we are going to come and turn to you, O Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. يا واسع الفضل اغفر لنا. اللهم إنا نسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء أن تغفر لنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when any one of you looks at someone who is superior to him in wealth or in good looks, he should also look at someone who is inferior to him in these respects. The hadith may be explained further by an example. Suppose you come across a millionaire and feel envious of his fortune, saying regretfully to yourself, this man has been granted abundant wealth while I have but little money. Then at the same time, you should also think of a person who is even poorer than yourself and has often to go without food. If you do so, your regret for your poverty will be replaced by gratefulness to Allah Ta'ala for having saved you from starvation. Another hadith says, do not look at those who are superior to you in wealth, but look at those who are inferior to you. That will keep you from belittling those favors that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu anhu narrates, my dearest friend, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me to observe 7 things. Number 1, he commanded me to love the poor and keep their company. Number 2, he commanded me not to look at those who are superior to me in wealth and advised me to look at those who are inferior to me in this respect. Number 3, he commanded me to join ties of relationship even when the relatives turn away from me. The version in Targhib wa Tarheeb has, even when the relatives do me wrong. Number 4, he commanded me not to ask anyone for anything. Number 5, he commanded me to speak the truth, even if it is bitter. Number 6, he commanded me not to care for the reproach of anyone while I am engaged in seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Number 7, he commanded me to recite this phrase frequently, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no might and no power except in Allah. For he said, these words have come down from a treasure just under Allah's throne. There are several narrations regarding the importance of reciting this ayat frequently. It has been narrated in another hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, a person who possesses 2 characteristics will be counted by Allah Ta'ala among those who are patient and grateful to him. He who looks up to his superiors in religious matters and tries to follow the example, and he who looks at those who are inferior to him in worldly matters and feels grateful to Allah Ta'ala for bestowing his bounties. Such a person will be recorded as a patient and grateful person. But he who looks at his inferiors in matters of religion and considers that so and so is not half as good as I am in performance of virtues and is jealous of those who are superior to him in worldly matters, grieving over what has not been granted to him, such a one will not be recorded by Allah Ta'ala as a grateful or patient person. Aun bin Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi says, that he used to sit in company with rich people and was always grieving. The reason was that when he saw someone dressed in fine clothes or riding an excellent horse better than his own, he was filled with grief because he felt inferior to other people. Then he began to associate with poor people and this painful feeling of inferiority disappeared because he saw that his own dress and riding beast, etc. were superior to theirs. The ulama advised that one should marry a woman who is poorer than oneself and not a wealthy woman, for he who marries a prosperous woman will have to bear many hardships. For example, number 1, he will have to settle a large amount as mahar. Number 2, it will take a long time before she joins her husband because her parents will delay sending her to his house and offer many excuses. Number 3, he will feel shy of asking her to serve him. Number 4, she will demand large amounts of money for expenses. Number 5, if he wants to divorce her, he will not be able to do so for fear of losing the fortune that she possesses. They say that a wife should preferably be inferior to her husband in 4 things, or else he will not command her respect. Number 1, age. Number 2, height. Number 3, wealth. And number 4, lineage. and she should be superior to her husband with regard to four things. Number one, beauty. Number two, manners. Number three, piety. And number four, good habits.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Not many years ago, there was a great saintly person. He was titled as Rasul Numa. Rasul Numa means he will show you Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everybody's heart's feeling is that he must see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the personality Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. The person who saw him in his lifetime, and nobody can reach to his level. But the one that saw him in his dream, he feels that he's been blessed and showered with the greatest favor. He'll record it in his diary, he will talk about it amongst his friends, and there won't be any limit to his happiness. That is just Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But even if we are to see his companions in our dreams, then too we feel very excited. So what is the personality like? That if we see his companions, we feel so great, honored. And not in life, rather in our dreams. That is why Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind, rahmatullah alayh, they say that very few people were blessed with students. In the former people, it was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Because if you look at the muhaddiseen, look at most of the fuqaha, then they are directly or indirectly linked to him. Muhaddiseen again, you find them directly or indirectly linked to him. Then similar was the case of Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh. Any alim in any department of deen, and somehow he gets linked up to Hazrat Shaykh ul-Hind rahmatullah alayh. The personality Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. When we see these personalities, then what we need to see is what was their modus operandi, what was their behavior like, their ways like. Because Allah Ta'ala favors any person, then he favors him with his niyat and his consistent behavior. The behavior is right and the niyat is right, then Allah Ta'ala takes him from one level to the other level. One person came to his superior and he says to his superior that I'm with you for so long but I don't see any progress in me. So the Shaykh thought for a moment, then asked him, but you are with me and what's your intention? What's your intention? So he says, my intention is like you have got so many students and murids and all that, then I can also have this type of students and murids. So the Shaykh told him, بس یہی کوتاہی ہے کہ بالغ ہونے سے پہلے باپ بننے کا تمنا ہے. First come of maturity, then aspire to be a father. Now it's a 6 year, 7 year old child, only is pining to become a father. So he's going to create problems for himself. I remember when we had our shop in reunion, so there used to be a taxi that used to come and park there. And we saw a boy, he must have been about 5 or 6 years of age, but without exaggeration, he was approximately 1.5 meter tall, fully grown person, but he was about 7 years old. Whatever happened, happened. I don't know what happened. What I'm getting at is, the child, he wants to, he's pining to come big. And he's taking cortisone, etc., just to pump himself up. So, kya hoga bhai? Nuksan hoga. So we do need to understand that we are in the baby class. And being in the baby class, then we have to climb this ladder very, very gracefully. Sheikh told one of his murids that was similar, see, always aspiring to be right at the top. And then he can instruct. He saw now this person has got some pride in him. So he told him, see, take this box of akhrot. Akhrot ko walnut kehte hai. Walnut. Something like pecan nut, but is a different version of pecan nut. Pecan nut is a little bit more smooth, the shell, and this wall, that akhrot shell is a little bit rough. So you take this box of walnut into the main bazaar, right, where there's a big crowd of people, and you tell the people there that whoever takes one of this and whoever smashes my head once, then he'll get one walnut. And who will smash my head 2 times, then he'll get 2. And so forth, and so on. One walnut for one smash. 2 for 2. And so forth. So he says to the Sheikh, you think I'm nuts? The Shaykh told him, see, he said in different words, he said, first he said, La ilaha illallah, and then he said, you think I'm nuts? The Shaykh told him, see, this is the kalima that if a 100-year-old kafir says it once, then he's got his entry and his ticket to Jannah, right? But now you said this kalima and you became kafir of tasawuf. Because your problem is you're thinking too much of yourself. And you said La ilaha illallah thinking too much of yourself. How can I do this? So there is a process. There's a process. And the process is that we start off knowing who we are, where we are, and who we are. Immediately we jump on and we start flying. So, kya hoga bhai? So, the people that will come in, the Sheikh will take them and he will train them according to their levels. See? Like how a child comes to a madrasa. And he sees now so many hafizes are performed, are made up, you know, so many hafizes and so many qaris. He's a Qari Sahib and he teaches so well. So he says, no, I want to become Qari Sahib. So they first go into the Nurani Qaida, Yassan al-Quran, and join the class first. Come gradually. And inshallah, you'll get the progress. But you start off at that point. So no, I'll do khidmat of deen. I must be here. But everybody is here for the khidmat of deen. Nobody came here to play around, to kid around. But there is a procedure. Understand that you are nothing. Understand that you will come up. It will come up slowly. So everybody gets a place. But the place is in accordance to his makeup. See? When a person corrects himself, then Allah Ta'ala gives him an opportunity. In that opportunity is considered what is the level of this person, how much he can withstand, how much he can take on. Everybody is not cut out for everything. Some person is cut out for some work, and the other person is cut out for some other work. You see the battle of Khandaq, right? And the believing woman on one section or cordon off. Perhaps it was Safiya, radiyallahu anha, the poopy, the foy, the aunt of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So she saw her son, radiyallahu anhu, and she suggests to him that I spot a Jew there, go and check him, take the sword and finish him up. So he says, "Main us kaam ka aadmi nahi hu. I can't do this, I don't have that heart." So she went herself and she slayed the head, finish. Woman, she could do this. Then she told her son that من قتل قتيلا فله صلبه. The law is that when you kill someone, right, in jihad, if the Amir had made this announcement that whoever kills that person, then his belongings is his. Right? Whatever belonging you find on the person. Like you slayed someone in jihad. He had an automatic rifle. He had he was fully armed. He had an armored vehicle. Whatever he had, then it will belong to the person who's killed him. That is provided the Amir made that announcement. So people think, oh, jihad is just going to make jihad. Why? There's so many laws. Go and learn that thing. You know, do things, but you don't learn. Yehi musibat hai aaj. Sab Shaykh al-Hadith banna chahta hai, Mujahid banna chahta hai, lekin Mujahid ke liye, Shaykh al-Hadith ke liye, kaam ki zarurat hai. You have to learn all these things. You can't just reach there. Even for the sunnat that you need to do, there are farais. What? For the sunnah that you have to do, there are farais. 2 rakat sunnah namaz. You have to do the farz of wuzu, isn't it? Then you can make the 2 rakat sunnah. You don't just come on you know, do a sunnah now. There are some farais. So tabligh also, there is some farais. Amr bil ma'roof also, there is some farais. That's a farz in itself. But there are other farais that come before it. Understand it. Get the training, understand. Sometimes the work is not effective. The work, because we didn't learn it. We didn't learn the whole procedure, how it goes. And when we didn't learn the procedure, now saying, hey, we're doing the things, it's not working out. Why is it not working out? So there are a lot of prerequisites, preconditions. And we didn't comply to the preconditions. Sometimes the weakness is the intention. As Umar radiallahu anhu zamana, Sahaba ikram were dispatched to Iskandariya. Now it's a long drawn battle and there's no news that's forthcoming. So they sent a complaint to Umar, that's the Amir. Okay, we are fighting to the best of our ability, and we don't see ourselves penetrating their forces. So we need reinforcements. Because Umar radiallahu anhu is the genius of a person. If he was a Sahabi at the second best, then he was very talented as well. So he says, I'm not saying one person as a reinforcement. There's some weakness within you. Go and correct yourselves. Are they checking within themselves? They found out that their intentions went off. Initially, the intention was for the path of Allah Ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Then they discovered that Iskandariya is a business center. You know how you have Dubai, business center. So Iskandariya was like that. The whole world comes to flock there. So when they saw that, the eyes popped out. Okay, once we got this, you know what we'll get? So the goal had changed. So the goal post had moved. So the Amir realized that we changed the goal post. So he gave them, he delivered a sermon. See, our intention has changed. First, our intention was the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now the intention is the money that is here, the wealth that is here. So come what may, you don't correct your intention, that's when other things will happen. And they had to change the intention, and that very day they got the victory. So sometimes for the sunnah there is a farz. Sometimes for the farz there is another farz, prerequisite. Now this is what's happening in this day, there's no tartib, not learning these things. You just want to get on and fire. That's all. You have Palestine, just want to get on and shoot. Just take a stone and throw someone. But there's some things before these things. The tartib, by Allah Ta'ala, there's a tartib, sequence. He's got a sequence here, he's got a sequence in the hereafter. You have to follow the sequence. No matter who you are. As Shaykh Rahmatullah got an incident in the Fazail Amal. One person, he heard of people worshipping a tree. So he says, I'm going to smash this thing down. People are making shirk here. So he came out with his chopper. En route, he meets up with Mr. Shaitan. By where are you going to? I'm smashing down this tree. Why? People worship this tree. So Shaitan told him, see, if you want to cut this tree down, people will take some other tree. So now I'm going to cut the tree. So they had a wrestle, had a fight. Now the fight is what? The fight is truth and falsehood. Can you see? Try and look at it, look at the story in a broader perspective. Same thing. But what is the clash between truth and falsehood? And the fight between truth and falsehood is now and it is always. Now what you have to search for is this verse of the Quran. يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ The Quran Sharif is the standard. And I think when we are working for deen, any part of deen, then the Quran Sharif is a must. The must. Not just the recitation, but the contemplation of the Quran, thinking of the Quran. Because there's so many solutions, there's so many problems that the Quran Sharif outlines is a problem. But we don't identify with that problem. And why we don't identify? Because we don't make tadabbur. فَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُ Quran. Today, Mura Yusuf read. فَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُ Quran. وَلَوَالَ He read, isn't it? أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا Right. They don't think about the Quran. So the Quran is a solution. A lot of the hurdles will be covered if we just ponder. يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If he has to help you, nobody can overtake you. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي. But if he has to forsake you, who's going to be on your side? So what is to be learned is, how do you get Allah Ta'ala's support? Because he's seeing you, that if he has to help you, then nobody can overcome, nobody can overwhelm you. So the bottom line is now, then how must you get his support? Now that's why I say people are in a quandary, in confusion. Somewhere someone sees some kafirs and all that, and they're creating some problems, so go and boycott them. So you boycott all Israeli products. So one person was here, and he was heading this whole boycott, you know. So he came to encourage the same thing, boycotting and all that. So he came to encourage me as well, you know, we need to boycott. So it's nice to speak to the person, see what is in his mind. Even though he may be an alim, but see what's in his mind. So I asked him, alright, you will boycott and then get what? What will you get? After boycotting them, what will you get? So now we'll force them then, they must throw the line, then they'll stop hitting the Palestinians. I said, it won't happen. Forget that. See, it's a political agenda, right? And they are playing this game all the time. When they're playing the game all the time, then they know what's your response going to be. They'll smash you down in Palestine, right? What you will do, you'll shout up, down the Israel, you know, boycott them, boycott Israel products, everything, all right? So, Discam won't be functioning for some time. Pick and Pay won't function for some time. They know the whole game. They know how it works. So it doesn't work for some time, then the shops will go down. Then after 2-3 months, all that josh and that emotions will all subside. Discam will just inflate their prices. Same thing that was selling for 5 rand, now they sell for 10 rand. And they know all the kurta walas have to buy from them. Have to buy from Woolworths. So they covered up all the losses, they covered up. In 1 month, they covered up. After that, they just profit the sea, extras. So, tumeki hasilu, what you got? Now think of a broader plan. Then I told him, see, all right, you want to boycott them, right? All right, I don't want to oppose you, but I'm just going to reason. I want to, for my own self, I'm reasoning with you. Right. So you want to boycott them, why? Because of this, all right. Now, they are destroying people with the support of someone, right? They got someone as a support, and they're destroying. Aren't they? Say, yeah. Of their own, can they do it? They can't do it. So someone is supporting them. So that means they're in cahoots with someone. Right? When they're in cahoots with someone, they're destroying your people. Right? So are you boycotting those people that are in cahoots with them? Like you want to rob his shop, right? But you don't have the strength. So you ask him, you know, I need you to go and rob. Both of us will plan it, we'll take the booty, share it out. So you shooting this person down, but you're not doing anything with that person. So where's the sense, where's the brains? What are you doing with this person? Did you do him anything? No, I didn't do anything. So isn't that half a job? Isn't that selective? There are some people that are with him. We know it, you know it, everybody knows it. But what do you do about that? So, sochna chordi humare logon hai. To think, to reason, rational, understand, see how it worked. And look at the past, you know. Muslims, if they made any strides, how did they make strides? They forgot all the reasoning, rationale, all everything. Balai taak kar diya. So the bottom line is, how do we attract the mercy of Allah Ta'ala? How do we call the mercy of Allah. That's what's supposed to be learned. إِنْ يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is to assist you. Who can run you down? Who can smash you down? But if he has to forsake you, إِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. And another thing that I repeatedly say is that وَلَا تَهِينُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Like I say, we're not reading the Quran Sharif. If we're reading, we're not thinking about it. Don't you lose spirit. Don't you lose heart. Now the people that are with all this thing here, they constantly with the news. Oh, this was happening here, ISIL, this happening. Crisis and ISIS, what's happening, this happening there. So in all that, the little bit of courage they had, that courage is all broken down. No courage. Determination is all dead. Why is the determination and courage dead? Because of the abundance of information. Mind is getting confused. Every quarter, everywhere, the Muslims are getting smashed down. So now the normal person, the uneducated person, he begins to feel, Na'uzubillah, Na'uzubillah, forbid Allah, protect us. That, did I make a right choice of being a Muslim? That's how he thinks. Now we are like brave people, who want to show on clip and show something here, and have one talk this side here, and show Muslims are catching it. What's happening on the ground? Our own folks, they are losing it. Everywhere we hear that Muslims are catching it. 10 years ago they were catching it. Now they're catching it. Everywhere they're catching it. So that news wasn't supposed to be filtered to everybody. إِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. Quran Sharif says, when news related to public security or fear reaches them, they go and disseminate, they go and broadcast it. They're not supposed to be doing that. وَلَوَرَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ. It was supposed to be directed to the Rasul. People of understanding and authority, they will know how to function, they know how to take the news. But everybody is getting that news. He's catching it here, Palestine, someone is catching it, Syria, someone is catching it, Yemen, they're catching it. So wherever Muslims are in problem. See now, what happens to the public, to the mass? Now, a few selected people who have the brain, capacity, understanding, they need to take the news, and thereafter they need to understand how to disseminate it, that we need to support our folks, but by the same token, we can't crash down the weak spirits. Spirits can't be broken down. How do we do it? How do we work it? Allah Pak is still in control. You think Allah Pak, a different Allah Pak now. But before a lot of strength and might, now he knows he doesn't have strength. Same Allah Pak. But are we doing the things right? So we're talking about this Mr. Shaitan, Haqq and Batil. So this Haqq and Batil, the clash was always and will be always. From the heavens it started by. Where are you talking about? From the heavens it started. Shaitan and Adam, where it start from? Start from there. So Allah is seeing everything. But we don't have to become despondent. We don't have to lose heart. We don't have to become faint. Just do your work. Some person was given the whole story. Some person just how much he can manage. Only that story. I just read the 6 points, Fazail Amal, just carry on. Don't think, don't become a rocket scientist now. You just become like this. Right. You are so small, so remain small. Allah created different vehicles. Someone is a bicycle, someone is a motorcycle, someone is a car, someone is a truck, someone is a heist, someone is a van, someone is a horse and a trailer, someone is a plane, fighter plane. And someone is a ship, can carry 500 fighter planes. So who created all these vehicles? He created. But everybody must think that I am in this, I know your capacity, and then work. Don't work now from a bicycle, you want to be like a fighter plane now. Can you work out? You'll kill yourself, you'll destroy yourself. Remain a bicycle. So anyway, this fight starts off. Clash between Mr. Shaitan and this person that's coming to chop the tree down. Haqq and Batil. See this fight. It was always, it will remain. Till Ya'juj, Ma'juj, everything will still carry on. So right till the end of time it will happen. But you must know what you must do. What to do, you need to know. So at any time, you are strong at heart and mind is strong. The public is strong at heart and mind. No matter how few they are, or no matter what predicament they are in, but they are strong. So when the bout starts off, this person, he throws down shaitan. So shaitan tells him, you see, you want to break down this tree here, kya fayda, koi fayda nahi. No benefit. Let's we arrange a deal, you know. See, what deal we make is under your pillow you'll find one gold coin every morning. Like I told you, she's not explaining him. Like I told you, you want to smash down the tree, they'll find another tree to worship. So yeah, it's a better deal. I'll leave one gold coin under your pillow. You know, you can fly, man. You can go for Umrah, Hajj, you can support madrasas, masjids, everything. You can do dini work and what things you can do. Like this, kya fayda hoga? Shaitan agrees. Shaitan is not asleep. He's not asleep, he's awake. Mind's awake. He's thinking. He can see the chore. Shaitan knows the chore towards the thief. So he knows how to smash you down, he knows it. See. If you look at this, the history of Muslims, then it wasn't because of strength that they had relented. If there was something that they relented and succumbed, was wealth. You dangled the carrot and he succumbed, he relented. So this wealth is a difficult thing. We think it's easy. It's a very difficult one. And especially in this age, when we have become addicted to comforts. So for any comfort, we'll squeeze the deen, however, cut it down, adjust it, amend the thing, just to make it work. See, but that material comfort, we don't want to ever allow a decrease in that. So Shaitan also knows, where's the chore, he knows it. So you'll find a gold coin under your pillow. So he's in agreement, hey, one gold coin, 14,000, I think today, nowadays about 14,000. What are they can do? He's making all the calculations in his mind. I'll get about 500,000 every month, you know, subject to the fluctuation rate. Yeah? But I'll get 500,000. I'll build madrasa, I'll do this, I'll send here Malawi, Mozambique, everywhere else. Bangladesh also, I'll do a lot of things I'll do. Go for Umrah now and then. Yeah? Have my own cars, go in Jamaat and all that. Hey, lot of ideas coming. Allah Pak does it all. You can't bribe Allah Ta'ala. What do? You bribe Allah Pak, I'll see you right. You know, you see me right, I'll see you right. So you play with Allah Ta'ala, you're bribing Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Pak doesn't fall for this thing. Anyway, now the money starts running, it's flowing now. See, the money is flowing. To resist this temptation is very difficult, very, very difficult. Extremely, to resist two things is very difficult, woman and wealth. Can't resist. It's very difficult to resist. Anyway, the money is flowing now, he's enjoying life, everything's working out, couple of good months, years carrying on. Then suddenly, not finding anything now. He picked up the pillow, nothing. Hey, I must go and chop the tree now. Islam, must get Islam alive. You see, how Shaitan is playing. He's not sleeping, he's awake. He knows how to manipulate. So now he picks up the pillow, nothing there. So he takes up the chopper again. There we go. Now, en route, Mr. Shaitan again, same, Haqq and Batil. This fight will be constant. Learn your part. Learn your part. Perfect your part. What you must do in any given circumstance, what you must do. Understand. And you'll only understand if you're in the footsteps of your elders. Otherwise, you're making it running, but you don't know where you're running. Chasing, but what you're chasing, you don't know. Why do you make so much of dua? Allahumma dina, Allahumma dini, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What I must do at which given time, I must know that. At this time, what I must do, I must know that. Now when the fight starts off for the second time, and one shot, shaitan drops him down. Now he's asking shaitan, but you know, the last time I was so strong, one smash and I pushed you down. Now in this bout here, you smashed me down. So sometimes shaitan also, bichara, because poor shaitan, little shaitan, insignificant, small machar, small mosquito he is. But he blows himself, like, you know, like a small balloon when you deflate the thing, how small the thing becomes. Or shrinkled up. See, shaitan is exactly the same. Shrinks up like that. But when you give him some cognizance, he blows up like a big fat balloon. Like, hey, he's so fat, big. Allah ke kuch nahi uske andar, hawa hai, kya bhara hua uske andar. Inna kayda shaitani kana dha'ifa. Shaitan is weak, nothing. But you, when you are affected with shaitan, then you see him to be something magnificent, powerful. But you are thinking, it's like that inflated balloon. So when you deflate, what happens? Shrinked up, finished, kalas, that thing. So because it's weak, sometimes he just gives off the secrets. See, normally secrets are not supposed to be giving. But then he can't hold himself, so he gave off the secret. He says, see, the first time when you fought purely for Allah Ta'ala. Now, it's not for Allah Ta'ala alone. It's also for that, for the dollars, you see. One friend of mine, so he was, he's from Pakistan, you see. So the whole barbershop industry is in the Pakistani hand, whole barbershop, right? But they do hard work as well. At 11 o'clock at night also, they prepare to cut your hair. And they prepare to give you a malish also. Who's going to give you all that? And half the price? So they choose the whole industry. So after a few years, I hear now he's gone to America. So I asked him, bhai, kaha gaya ho? Salim bhai, kaha gaya? I said, no, America gaya. Kyun? Wo yaha chhod karke wahan kyun gaya? Left Durban, why went to America? So, batao, you know, he's telling me, batao, show me, for 1 rand, how many rupees you'll get? 10 rupees, right? For $1, 100 rupees you'll get. By 1 rand or $1? So, this money game, everybody knows, makes everybody clever. So, shaitan gave off the lesson, you see. He gave the sabak. He said, see, it was first was only for Allah Ta'ala. Now it is for the money. So you will never be able to floor me down. You will never be able to floor me down. So if you want to floor me down, then get your intention right. Get your niyat right. So our problem today mainly is our niyat, you see. And this khanka business is to get your niyat right. Everybody says, no, my niyat is right, my niyat is right, my niyat is right. But when you come to the crunch, you understand the flaws in the niyat. Before coming to the crunch, you think that, no, you imagine my niyat is right. It's a lengthy story, just break it down, you know. Ra'isul Ahrar, one Habib Rahman Ludhianvi Rahmatullahi. So, he had been very active, politically very active. And was studying in Dioban. The Sheikh Ramadullah told, people that are active in politics and all, unko madrasa mein rehna, aur madrasa ka khana khana haram hai. 3/4 of their minds are in politics. It's coming here for what reason they're coming to the madrasa then? So he didn't like the sheikh's approach. Because the sheikh is wrong. Under wrong pretexts, you staying in the madrasa and eating here. He's very active politics, you know, very, very active. You have to do it, make jihad, do it. Where are you living? Madrasa. Which food are you eating? Madrasa food. What work are you doing? Are you doing something else? If you're madrasa, then do madrasa work. You can't be talking about these type of things. You can't be active here. Nonetheless, after his studies, formal studies, he got connected to Hazrat Mawlana Rai Puri Rahmatullah Alayh. Now, Hazrat Qadir Rai Puri Sahib Rahmatullah's approach was that if anybody is connected to him, then he would require of him, okay, you must meet the Sheikh also. Go and spend some time and come to me. And Saharanpur is en route to Raipur. Coming to Raipur, you go past Saharanpur, then you go to Raipur. Right. You can't bypass Saharanpur. You have to go through Saharanpur to come to Raipur. So the Sheikh will ask, Raipuri will ask, yeah, the Sheikh said, Milkar aaye ya nahi? You're coming from here, you met the Sheikh. So, phir main kya jawab dunga? So, now, you know, maan na maan, main tera mehman. He'll have to come here. So, now he has to come here. Before, they were not in good terms. Now, like it or not, because his Sheikh is going to ask, and his sheikh will be pleased if you met the sheikh Rahmatullah Alayh, so you have to meet him. So anyway, he's coming through Saharanpur. So he says to the sheikh, because he's very politically minded, a little bit free and all that. So he says to the sheikh, you know, ye tasawuf kya bala hai? This tasawuf, what is all about, you know? See, I'm giving you one whole week. Next week you're going to come around, you think about the answer properly and tell me. A little bit free-minded, so they talk free, you see. So I say to him, no, don't worry about 1 week, I'll give you cash. No terms, give cash. So, iski ibtida, innamal amalu bin niyat hai. The beginning is niyat. And the end of it is anta abudallah, annaka tara. This is the beginning, and this is the end. So anyway, he took the answer and he went. He came after a week. So he's saying to the Sheikh, you know, I'm politically minded, right? So my mind is very active, works here, everywhere. So I thought of the answer that you gave. I'm thinking now, you know, that how to corner you, how to jam you up, and how to make some objections. But I can't find anything. It's such a profound, comprehensive answer that I try to jam you from this end, that end, every end. But I can't find any way to come and jam you up. So, the bigger problem in this day is to learn niyat, to learn ikhlas. And generally it happens, there's a system of Allah Ta'ala, that this ikhlas comes through this mashayikh, their ta'lim. You'll go through their ta'lim, through their tuition, through their disciplining and correction, and you learn ikhlas. And if you don't, then you won't learn ikhlas. And when you don't learn ikhlas, then you'll have obstacle in the ways, always. It's a system, like you want to learn qiraat, you have to go back to Qarisa. So now I can learn it, I can learn myself. There's kitabs and all, Fawaid the Makkiya and all that, I can learn myself. But you'll have to go back to Qarisa, there's a system. So the same, if you have to learn ikhlas, you have to come to this mashayikh, go through the training. Humble yourself. Whatever they say, take on Yassar al-Quran and start learning from Alif Ba. They'll tell you all that. Do all this. Eventually, you'll get the qiraat right. So the same, by the same token, you'll get the ikhlas right. This ummah today, this is what they need. They need to get that ikhlas right. The groundwork right. Once they got the groundwork, then can you fly. You got the aeroplane, but without tires. Can you fly? Say, no, Allah Pak's Qudrat, you will fly. Like as though we don't know it's Allah's Qudrat. Well, you know about it. Allah's Qudrat, but everything has a system. The tire is like that ikhlas. You got the thing, you can run. If you don't have the tire, you can't run. Try what you want, you can't run. You said, switching the engine and make a big noise, foo far and all that. But you're going to move. So get the tires right. As insignificant as the tire looks. I think in the whole plane, maybe the tires may be the cheapest thing, isn't it, right? But without the tire, you can't take off. You try what you want, you can't take off. So this is a groundwork. That groundwork has to be corrected. Allah Pak Taufeeq Naseeb Kare. Sab Zikr.